For a long time, the dwarves stood in the dark before Thorin spoke. Now it is time for our esteemed Mr. Baggins to earn his reward. If you mean you think it is my job to go into that secret passage first, O Thorin Oakenshield, may your beard grow even longer, he said crossly. I might refuse. Who is coming with me? Balin, the lookout man, was rather fond of the hobbit. He said he would come inside, at least, ready to call for help if necessary. The hobbit crept through the enchanted door and stole into the mountain. After a while, Balin said, "Good luck," and stopped. Bilbo slipped on his ring and crept noiselessly down, down, down into the dark. It began to feel warm. "Is that a kind of glow I see ahead?" he thought. It grew and grew, till there was no doubt about it. It was a red light getting redder and redder. It was now undoubtedly hot in the tunnel. A sound, too, began to throb in his ears, a sort of bubbling like the noise of a large pot galloping on the fire, mixed with a rumble as of a gigantic tomcat purring. This grew to the unmistakable gurgling noise of some vast animal snoring in its sleep down there in the red glow. Bilbo stopped. Going on from there was the bravest thing he ever did. The tremendous things that happened afterwards were as nothing compared to it. He fought the real battle in that tunnel alone before he ever saw the vast danger that lay in wait. Before him lay the great dungeon hall of the ancient dwarves, right at the mountain's root. But rising from the near side of the rocky floor was a great glow. There he lay, a vast red golden dragon, fast asleep. A thrumming came from his jaws and nostrils and wisps of smoke. Beneath him, under all his limbs and his huge coiled tail, and about him on all sides, stretched away across the unseen floors, lay countless piles of gold gems, jewels, and silver, red stained in the ruddy light. Smaug lay, with wings folded like an immeasurable bat, partly turned on one side, so that the hobbit could see his long, pale belly crusted with gems and fragments of gold. Bilbo was paralyzed. He had heard tell of dragon hordes before, but the splendor, the lust, the glory of such treasure had never yet come home to him. He stole across the floor to the nearest edge of the mounds of treasure. Above him the sleeping dragon lay, a dire menace even in his sleep. He grasped a great two-handled cup, as heavy as he could carry, and cast one fearful eye upwards. Smaug stirred a wing, opened a claw. The rumble of his snoring changed its note. Then Bilbo fled.
"I've done it. This will show him. More like a grocer than a burglar, indeed. Well, we'll hear no more of that."
Nor did he. The dwarves praised him, patted him on the back, and were still delightedly passing the cup from hand to hand when a vast rumbling woke in the mountain. Up the long tunnel came the dreadful echoes of a bellowing and a trampling that made the ground beneath them tremble. The dwarves forgot their joy. Smaug was still to be reckoned with. He had been dozing, he had woken, he had sniffed, and he had missed the cup. Thieves, fire, murder! Such a thing had not happened since he first came to the mountain. His rage belched forth fire. The hall smoked. He shook the mountain. He thrust his head in vain at the little hole, and then, coiling his length together, roaring like thunder underground, he sped from his deep lair through its great door, out into the huge passages of the mountain palace, and up towards the front gate. To hunt the whole mountain till he had caught the thief and had torn and trampled him was his one thought. He flamed through the gate, sword blazing into the air, and settled on the mountain top in a great spout of green and scarlet flame. There they would have all been killed if it had not been for Bilbo once again.
"Quick, quick," he gasped. "The door, the tunnel, it's no good here."
The dragon came hurtling from the north, licking the mountainsides with flame, beating his great wings with a noise like a roaring wind. His hot breath shriveled the grass before the door and drove in through the crack they had left and scorched them as they fled back down the tunnel. There they lay until dawn. When morning came, the terror of the dwarves grew less.
They realized that dangers of this kind were inevitable in dealing with such a guardian, and that it was no good giving up their quest yet. But they could think of no way of getting rid of Smaug. "What do you propose we should do, Mr. Baggins?" asked Thorin politely.
"Well, I have no idea at the moment, if you mean about removing the treasure. I have got my ring and will creep down this very noon and see what Smaug is up to."
It was dark as night in the tunnel. There was only the very faintest glow to be seen.
"Old Smaug is weary and asleep," he thought. "He can't see me and he won't hear me. Cheer up, Bilbo."
He had forgotten, or had never heard about, Dragon's sense of smell. Smaug certainly looked fast asleep, almost dead and dark, with scarcely a snore more than a whiff of unseen steam, when Bilbo peeped once more from the entrance. He was just about to step out onto the floor, when he caught a sudden, thin and piercing ray of red from under the drooping lid of Smaug's left eye. He was only pretending to sleep. Then Smaug spoke.
"Well, thief, I smell you, and I feel you. I hear your breath. Come, help yourself again. There is plenty."
No, thank you, O Smaug the Tremendous. I did not come for presents. I only wish to have a look at you and see if you were truly as great as tales say. I did not believe them."
"Didn't you now?"
"Truly, songs and tales fall utterly short of the reality, O Smaug, the chiefest and greatest of calamities."
"You have nice manners for a thief and a liar. You seem familiar with my name, but I don't seem to remember smelling you before. Who are you? Where do you come from, may I ask?"
"From under the hill, and under the hills, and over the hills, and through the air. I am he that walks unseen."
"So I can well believe, but that is hardly your usual name."
"I am the clue finder, the web cutter, the stinging fly. I was chosen for the lucky number."
"Lovely titles, but lucky numbers don't always come off."
"I am he that buries his friends alive and drowns them and draws them alive again from the water. I came from the end of a bag, but no bag ever went over me."
"These don't sound so creditable."
"I am the friend of bears and the guests of eagles. I am ring winner and luck wearer, and I am barrel rider," went on Bilbo, beginning to be pleased with his riddling.
"That's better, but don't let your imagination run away with you."
This is, of course, the way to talk to dragons, if you don't want to reveal your proper name, which is wise, and don't want to infuriate them by a flat refusal, which is also very wise. No dragon can resist the fascination of riddling talk, and of wasting time trying to understand it. There was a lot here which Smaug did not understand at all, but he thought he understood enough, and chuckled in his wicked inside.
"I thought so last night," he smiled to himself. Lake men, or I'm a lizard. I haven't been down that way for an age and an age, but I will soon alter that. Very well, O barrel rider. You may walk unseen, but you did not walk all the way. Let me tell you, I ate 6 ponies last night. In return for the excellent meal, I will give you 1 piece of advice for your good. Don't have more to do with dwarves than you can help."
"Dwarves?" said Bilbo in pretended surprise.
"Don't talk to me," said Smaug. "I know the smell and taste of dwarf. No one better. I suppose you got a fair price for that cup last night. Oh, come, did you? Nothing at all? Well, that's just like them. They are skulking outside, and you do all the dangerous work and get what you can. And you will get a fair share? Don't you believe it?"
"You don't know everything, O Smaug the Mighty. Not gold alone brought us hither."
"Ha ha! You admit the us. Why not say us 14 and be done with it, Mr. Lucky Number? I don't know if it has occurred to you that even if you could steal the gold bit by bit, a matter of 100 years or so, you could not get it very far. What about delivery? What about cartage? What about armed guards and trolls?
And Smaug laughed aloud. He had a wicked and wily heart, and he knew his guesses were not far out, though he suspected that the lake men of Esgaroth were at the back of the plans.
I tell you that gold was only an afterthought with us. We came over hill and under hill by wave and wind for revenge.
Then Smaug really did laugh, a devastating sound which shook Bilbo to the floor, while far up the tunnel the dwarves huddled together and imagined the hobbit had come to a sudden and a nasty end.
Revenge, he blasted. Revenge! The king under the mountain is dead. Geryon, lord of Dale, is dead. And where are his sons' sons that dare approach me? I kill where I wish, and none dare resist. I laid low the warriors of old, and their like is not in the world today. No thief in the shadows. I am indestructible. My breath is death.
I have always understood, said Bilbo in a terrified squeak, that dragons were softer underneath, especially in the region of the, chest.
The dragon stopped short in his boasting.
Your information is antiquated, he snapped. I am armored above and below with iron scales and hard gems. No blade can pierce me.
I might have guessed it, said Bilbo. Truly, there can nowhere be found the equal of Lord Smaug the Impenetrable. What magnificence to possess a waistcoat of fine diamonds!
Yes, it is rare and wonderful indeed. Look, what do you say to that?
Dazzlingly marvellous, perfect, flawless, staggering, exclaimed Bilbo aloud, but what he thought inside was, old fool, why, there is a large patch in the hollow of his left breast as bare as a snail out of its shell.
After he had seen that, Mr. Baggins' one idea was to get away.
Well, I must not detain your magnificence any longer. Ponies take some catching, I believe. And so do burglars, he added as a parting shot, as he darted back and fled up the tunnel.
It was an unfortunate remark, for the dragon spouted terrific flames after him.
Never laugh at live dragons, Bilbo, you fool, he said.
The dwarves took care of him and doctored his scorches as well as they could, asking eager questions. The hobbit was worried. Thinking things over, he was regretting some of the things he had said to the dragon and was not eager to repeat them. The old thrush was sitting on a rock nearby with his head cocked on one side, listening to all that was said.
Drat that bird, said Bilbo crossly. I believe he is listening, and I don't like the look of him.
Leave him alone, said Thorin. The thrushes are good and friendly. This is a very old bird indeed, and might even be of those that were alive a couple of 100 years or more ago. The men of Dale used to have the trick of understanding their language, and used them for messengers to fly to the men of Lake and elsewhere.
Well, he'll have news to take to Lake Town, all right, if that's what he's after, said Bilbo.
Why, what has happened? Cried the dwarves. Bilbo told them all he could remember, and confessed that he had a nasty feeling that the dragon guessed too much from his riddles added to the camps and the ponies.
I am sure he knows we came from Lake Town, and had help from there, and I have a horrible feeling that his next move is going to be in that direction. I wish to goodness I'd never said that about Barrel Rider. It would make even a blind rabbit in these parts think of the lake men.
Well, well, it can't be helped, said Thorin. It may be a mercy and a blessing yet to know of the bare patch in the old worm's diamond waistcoat.
The general opinion was that catching a dragon napping was not as easy as it sounded, and the attempt to stick one or prod one asleep was more likely to end in disaster than a bold frontal attack. All the while they talked, the thrush listened, till at last, when the stars began to peep forth, it silently spread its wings and flew away. Bilbo shivered.
I feel it in my bones that this place will be attacked again. Smaug knows how I came down to his hall. He will break all this side of the mountain to bits, if necessary, to stop up our entrance. And if we are smashed with it, the better he will like it.
Why hasn't Smaug blocked the lower end, then, if he's so eager to keep us out? Said Thorin. He hasn't, or we should have heard him.
I wish you would not argue. Smaug will be coming out at any minute now, and our only hope is to get well in the tunnel and shut the door.
He seemed so much in earnest that the dwarves at last did as he said. Once inside, with the door half open, the talk turned to the great hoard itself. Shields made for warriors long dead, the great golden cup of Thror, the necklace of Girion, Lord of Dale, made of 500 emeralds green as grass. But fairest of all was the great white gem which the dwarves had found beneath the roots of the mountain, the Arkenstone of Thrain. The Arkenstone. The Arkenstone, murmured Thorin in the dark, half-dreaming with his chin upon his knees. It was like a globe with 1,000 facets. It shone like silver in the firelight, like water in the sun, like snow under the stars, like rain upon the moon. But the enchanted desire of the hoard had fallen from Bilbo. Darkness grew deeper, and he grew ever more uneasy.
Shut the door, he begged them. I fear that dragon in my marrow. I like this silence far less than the uproar of last night. Shut the door before it is too late.
Slowly, Thorin shook off his dreams, and getting up, he kicked away the stone that wedged the door. Then they thrust upon it, and it closed with a snap and a clang. No trace of a keyhole was there left on the inside. They were shut in the mountain. And not a moment too soon. They had hardly gone any distance down the tunnel when a blow smote the side of the mountain like the crash of battering rams made of forest oaks and swung by giants. They fled down the tunnel, while behind them, outside, they heard the roar and rumble of Smaug's fury.
Barrel rider, he flamed. I don't know your smell, but if you are not one of those lake men, you had their help. They shall see me and remember who is the real king under the mountain.
He rose in fire and went away south towards the running river.